and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. President Biden's heading back to the U.S. after going to Israel in a show of American support.
I was outraged and saddened by the enormous loss of life yesterday in the hospital in Gaza.
Hamas blamed Israel for that deadly explosion. Mr. Biden says intelligence information says otherwise.
Based on the information we've seen to date, it appears the result of an errant rocket fired by a terrorist group in Gaza.
Mr. Biden pledged U.S. financial help for Israel. He urged humanitarian help for Gaza and warned against a wider conflict.
My message to any state or any other hostile actor thinking about attacking Israel remains the same as it was a week ago. Don't.
President Biden expressed concern for hostages held by Hamas. Some are Americans. CBS's Margaret Brennan says yesterday's events may have changed the climate.
I've been talking to sources in the Middle East, here in the United States, people who work with hostage families. There had been some hope leading up to this bombing. I am told Hamas is signaling that it is not possible for them at this moment to go through with any kind of release.
Now to Washington, CBS's Nicole Killian reports Ohio Republican Jim Jordan's name is now going up again before the full House a day after his bid to become Speaker fell short.
Jim Jordan has made clear that he does not intend to drop out of this race in any way, that he is going to ride this out as best he can, although some members have expressed skepticism, even suggesting that he may be losing votes. But again, we will see as this vote plays out.
In Alabama, the Dutch man linked to the disappearance of 18-year-old Natalie Holloway 18 years ago pleaded guilty today to charges that he extorted her mother. Joran Vandersloot admitted killing Holloway and detailed what happened to her as part of that plea deal. In Penrose, Colorado, officials now say the remains of at least 189 people have been removed from a funeral home. A couple of weeks ago, decaying bodies were found when police responded to calls about a bad odor. Tanya Wilson is one of hundreds of people now with questions about the fate of their loved ones.
I already believe in my heart that the ashes that we were given weren't real. It didn't come with any of the necessary paperwork. It didn't come with a metal registration tag. My question is what were we given and where is our mother?
Police are weighing possible criminal charges against the owners. A New Mexico grand jury will consider new evidence soon in a bid by prosecutors to recharge actor Alec Baldwin for manslaughter in connection with the fatal movie set shooting back in 2021. Wall Street right now, the Dow is down 204 points, the S&P 500 down 37. This is CBS News.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The universities of Wisconsin are having a tough week. Policy watchdogs warned 3 years ago that problems with the system were possible. Jason Stein was lead author of a report that looked at flat rate spending, a tuition freeze, declining birth rates and enrollments, and the COVID-19 pandemic, and how all that could impact higher education. He tells Civic Media's Todd Albaugh show that closing two-year campuses in Richland Center, West Bend, and Fond du Lac probably won't help much.
The thing about small campuses is their budgets are also small. So there's going to be some savings, but it's not going to be transformational.
Also, 1 in 6 jobs are going away at UW-Oshkosh, and powerful Republican lawmakers are holding up pay raises for system employees. State lawmakers meet today to consider 5 out-of-court settlements that would bring in $361,000 to the state of Wisconsin. The biggest proposed settlement is $150,000 from Chem Design Products over air pollution violations at its factory in Marinette. The Wisconsin Justice Department reached the settlements. The Joint Finance Committee meets later this afternoon. Wisconsin's wolf population has been a contentious issue for 30 years. Next week, the Department of Natural Resources Policy Board is set to consider the first update to the state's plan in 16 years. Here's Roz Brown.
The updated draft management plan includes rules to govern any future recreational wolf killing seasons. In late 2022, the DNR released a draft plan that wolf advocates were ready to accept. But since then, Kim Hollis with the group Friends of the Wisconsin Wolves and Wildlife says another revised plan has surfaced.
We kind of got the rug pulled out from under us because at the last minute, the plan was changed. It's not at all similar to the original draft plan.
2 years ago, Wisconsin hunters killed 218 wolves in a week, far exceeding the state's limit of 119. That resulted in a lawsuit against the DNR by animal welfare groups. I'm Roz Brown.
Now we know why the state said its former chief clerk lost his job. Nate Wegehout explains.
A report from an independent investigator found credible evidence that Mike Queensland sexually assaulted a woman at a conference in California in May. The report states that an unnamed woman at the conference passed out from drinking only to wake up with Queensland on top of her. After yelling at him to get off of her multiple times, he finally left the room. WisPolitics obtained the report through an open records request. Queensland resigned last month. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Today is National Bioenergy Day, which raises awareness about turning waste into renewable energy. Julie Manowski-Ball works on the front lines of the movement.
You have all this waste that you need to do something with, and you might as well create a co-benefit to disposing of it.
Bioenergy comes from everything from scrap wood to gas harvested from municipal solid waste and dairy farms. Talk about a great pumpkin. As James Kelly reports, a big gourd in west central Wisconsin is a record breaker.
This past weekend, Brian Mathewitz unveiled the pumpkin he grew in Eau Claire, weighing in at a whopping 2,420 pounds. The oversized fruit is now the heaviest recorded pumpkin in Wisconsin state history. Mathewitz told WQOW that even he was surprised by the weight of the pumpkin, saying he initially thought he misread the scale and that it was 400 pounds lighter. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Quick Trip Stores says nobody's credit card information is being compromised during the current computer outage. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell.
For Mad Radio, WMD.
For WFHR, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. It's Domestic Abuse Awareness Month, and the numbers from Wisconsin are quite shocking. Brittany Merlot has more details.
Since 2000, over 1,000 people die from domestic abuse each year. These numbers continue to rise, with 68 people killed just last year, and four of those were from central Wisconsin. There are several programs in the Badger State to help. This includes a Safe at Home confidentiality program. And the North Central Technical College is hosting a panel on all of the resources from across central Wisconsin and how they work to keep everyone safe. Called The Ripple Effects, Community Impacts of Domestic Violence will take place on October 25th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Universities of Wisconsin President Jay Rothman announced in-person instruction will end at two branch campuses. One is the UW-Milwaukee in Washington County, and the other is UW-Oshkosh Fond du Lac campus. Here's Pete Schwaba with details on the effect of this decision on the Oshkosh campus.
140 people will lose their jobs outright, and another 76 people are accepting voluntary retirement offers. That's one of every six employees. UW-Oshkosh says the cuts will save about $15 million. No faculty members are being laid off, but 12 of the school's top administrators are. The university is trying to close an almost $18 million budget deficit.
The UW-Platteville-Richland campus will be closed entirely. This leaves only 10 remaining branch campuses. Senate candidate Representative Katrina Shanklin said these cuts will not only hurt the faculty, students, and staff, but also the rural communities where these branch campuses are located. Rothman said these choices are not being made for cost savings, but rather by the choices made by traditional and non-traditional students to attend UW four-year colleges or enroll online. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News on WFHR, your locally grown radio station.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Scattered showers moving in this afternoon along a warm front that is draping through Wisconsin. As this low pressure continues to head eastward, smack dab through the middle of the state today, we will continue to stay under cloudy skies with a dreary and damp evening ahead. We're looking to pick up around a quarter of an inch of rainfall before the system completely moves out. However, on a good note, there is a positive. The feisty winds out of the south that are gusting up to 30 miles per hour are ushering in the milder temperatures. Can you feel it? Highs today climbing to the low to mid-60s along the southeastern parts of the state, while in the cloud-covered, wetter areas in the Northwoods, we remain in the mid-50s. Unfortunately, rain lingers tomorrow too, and another shot wants to swipe us Friday as well. I hope you have a wonderful Wednesday, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Bucks lose to the Thunder. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Last night in preseason hoops, the Thunder played all of their starters and beat the Bucks 124-101 in Oklahoma City. Damian Lillard was held to just 5 points, but Milwaukee's Malik Beasley broke free to score 20. Marjon Beauchamp says the Bucks has some real depth.
Malik Beasley, you can tell they've been in the league for a long time, so we definitely have depth, and it's pretty cool to see, like, the first group, the second group. I feel like we're building that good chemistry together. And it's going to be a fun year, I feel like, because we have so much great talent. If someone goes down, you know, we have another person to come back up. So, it's great.
Giannis with 10 rebounds, scoring 18 points. The Bucks preseason wraps up Friday night at home against the Grizzlies. Women's volleyball, number one ranked Wisconsin, hosts Ohio State tonight at the Fieldhouse in Madison. The Badgers are 17-0. The Buckeyes are now 7-10 and recently fell out of the top 25. In college football, when Wisconsin plays Illinois in Champaign this Saturday, they'll be starting a new quarterback. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell was asked how Braden Locke performed against Iowa after taking over for the injured Tanner Mordecai.
Yeah, he showed some poise. Unfortunately, maybe a little bit too much of just not getting rid of the ball on some of those situations. You know, you always kind of take a peek at to see how the guy takes the field and see what it looks like in his eyes when the thing kind of hits. And, you know, he didn't bat an eye at it. He really was kind of excited about the opportunity. And that's not the easiest situation based on how the game was going and where we were. And, you know, obviously the style of defense that they play, what the night was like. But I do feel like he can do pretty much all the things that we want to do. But I think we're always trying to figure out what our guys do best.
The kickoff is this Saturday at 2:30. NFL, the Philadelphia Eagles making a surprise move by signing wide receiver Julio Jones. The 34-year-old vet will start out in the practice squad to learn the Eagles' playbook. The Packers added two players to their practice squad, defensive back Anthony Johnson and former Jacksonville Jaguars running back James Robinson, who rushed for over 1,400 yards his rookie season. That was a new record for an undrafted player. The Pack is back at the practice field today, getting ready to face the Broncos in Denver Sunday. On defense, linebackers Quay Walker with a knee, Devondre Campbell with an ankle, still rehabbing those injuries. Safety Darnell Savage, expected to give it a try despite a sore calf muscle. And it finally looks like Aaron Jones will return to offense. How much difference does it make to have Aaron Jones in the backfield? Packers offensive coordinator Adam Stenovich.
He is an explosive player that does a great job just generating plays. And I think with our offense, like, the biggest thing right now is you may have the perfect play called and you just kind of get the bare minimum, or you may have a bad play called and then a playmaker doesn't get you out of it. You know what I mean? So he's one of those guys that really has a knack for it. He's shown, you know, over the course of the last 5 years to be pretty exceptional when it comes to that. So anytime you take a playmaker off the field like that, it's going to affect your offense.
That's Packers offensive coordinator Adam Stenovich. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
I feel like I'm constantly cleaning hair off my bathroom floor. At least my Swiffer Sweeper makes it easy. Swiffer Heavy Duty Dry Cloths have ultra-thick pads to trap and lock hairs, like a hair magnet. And when I'm finished cleaning up my hair, Sweeper takes care of his too. Now the hair's gone, all thanks to Swiffer. Try Swiffer Sweeper Heavy Duty Dry Cloths. I promise you'll love them or your money back. And also try Swiffer Sweeper Wet to make quick work of tough, sticky messes.
Let's face it, we're all on the go. Go to work, school, sports, appointments, family gatherings, you name it. Get on the road hassle-free with A Street Auto. With a wide range of inventory, financing options, and excellent customer service, you'll be on the go in no time. Their friendly and knowledgeable staff is ready to help you find a car you deserve, priced to fit your budget. Shop their virtual showroom at 8thStreetAuto.com. Then stop by for a test drive.
Go, go, go to 8th Street Auto.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. But did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Derek Height. Currently, it's 63 degrees.
Mad Radio 92.7 programming is produced live in the Solidarity Realty Studios.
Solidarity Realty. There is an alternative.
Welcome one, welcome all. Thanks for joining us today. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789, or take the show with you on the go. Download the Civic Media app. You can engage with us right from the app. You can call, you can text, you can connect with Town Call. Head over to the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. Type in Civic Media. It's free, it's easy to download, and it's Wednesday, October 18th, the Wednesdayest Wednesday of the week. Joined by Mr. Aaron Zommers and Mr. Luke Mathers on this Wednesday afternoon, gentlemen. How are we feeling today?
It's a good Wednesday, Will. Just on the road myself, using the Civic Media app on the go. I'm in the Waukesha studios, holding down the fort in the Shaw. Shout out to Greg Bach and Jane Matinair of Asgo's, Wisconsin. Just wrapping up here in the Shaw studios and leaving some room for me, thankfully, because I'm in their territory. I'm in their backyard here in the Shaw.
I'm doing pretty well, too, on this Wednesday, but it is a little lonely here. So because I've been so used to not having Luke here, and now finally he came back yesterday and Monday, and now he's gone
just
again.
Just to abandon you again.
But I still got to say.
Yeah, yeah, feeling good on a Wednesday.
I love it. We were joking without you, Luke, that we're going to edit that clip a little bit, change the pitch, slow it down, make it a little faster to... like just slight differences so that
slow
Aaron
it down
some
then
way...
speed it back up. What?
Well, no. It depends on how he's feeling that Wednesday. So it's not just the same clip. Like if he's feeling really good, it's going to be a more energetic feeling good on a Wednesday, but of the same clip. And if he's having a not so great a day, I compared it to those, you know, if you go to the doctor's office and you see the images of the smiley faces and it's like, how are you feeling today? Or how much pain are you in? And zero is just like, the generic emoji smile, and 10 is like the big frowny face, angry face, like that, except with the same clip of feeling good on a Wednesday.
Gotcha.
You feeling me, or did I lose you somewhere along?
You lost me, but that's okay. I'm
still
here.
Makes sense to me.
Well, we'll still be here for the entirety of
workshop
Wednesday
afternoon. Yeah, just workshop it.
We're going to workshop it a little bit. We'll get back to you with a stronger product. I'm, of course, William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with Our Wisconsin Revolution, joined by the squad on this Wednesday, October 18th. We got a very fun show for you today. We're going to be covering the public comment controversy, if you want to call it that, of Republicans conceding in legal filings that they do not, in fact, lack standing to remove Megan Wolf from her position. And then we'll be having Mr. Dan Schaefer on at the 12:30 time slot to discuss all things Milwaukee. We're going to be recombobulating on this Wednesday afternoon. We got tons and tons of fun stories to cover. But first, Luke, I have some bad news. Unfortunately, with an upcoming schedule change, Civic will be changing the show appearance order on the day for our daily scheduled programming, and Town Call will no longer be on the air with you. We've had so much fun talking all things Wisconsin with you, the listeners. You are the people who make this show go, and you are the reason that we love to do this every single day, hearing from you, talking to you, getting your text messages, being able to have the conversations that the people of Wisconsin need to have. We're going to miss you all so very, very much, but we'll still be around. We'll be, you can reach out to us via social media. You can reach out to us via Civic, the Civic Media app, if you're interested. There are tons of ways to still connect with the network, and we will be bringing you tons of excellent programming in some of our many other forms. Unfortunately, it will not be with Town Call, but again, we will always be with you in spirit.
Yeah, Friday being the last show, the last edition of Town Call coming up on this this upcoming Friday. But be thrilled to be with you. I mean, we've got a changing dynamic here across the media landscape with what we're doing here at Civic Media. There are some changes coming, but it will be interesting to see exactly where Will and I will pop up next. Because as Will said, you know, we're not going to be gone. We'll still be around, and thrilled to be with you for these next couple days here on Town Call.
We'll find a way to weasel the Wednesdays with Will and somewhere else. I'm not sure where. You're going to have to stay tuned to find out. Or maybe you can guess on Twitter, and the first person to get it right will get like a virtual high five from me or something. I'm not sure. I haven't determined what the best prize may or may not be. But until we get to that point, we still got three more days with you, the lovely people of Wisconsin. And we're going to be covering all things Wisconsin in that time frame. Luke, I wanted to start out today with a piece over from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. As I noted, despite public comments, Republicans concede in legal filing they lack the grounds to oust Megan Wolf. After voting last month to fire the nonpartisan leader of Wisconsin's election agency, Senate Republicans are now saying they did not have the grounds to oust her, nor the power to replace her, despite claiming the opposite to the public. Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, and Senate President Chris Kapenga, in a new court filing, admitted their effort so far to remove Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf was, quote, symbolic, unquote, that Wolf is legally in her current position and that lawmakers have no power to replace her, despite GOP leaders claiming the opposite in public statements as recently as this past Sunday. So that begs the question, Luke, Aaron, and the people of Wisconsin, I want to hear your thoughts. Is this all performative? Is the entire Wisconsin GOP agenda a show designed to engage the base, knowing they do not have the legal capabilities to follow through on some of their promises? We'd like to hear your thoughts. Give us a call. Shoot us a text, 844-967-2789.
Well, Will, when this vote took place, we heard from Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu that the math was there. They had the vote to take up the renomination of Administrator Wolf because it was a 3-0 vote. And so I'm confused at what happens between that vote and them taking up the and saying that they had the authority between then and now in this legal filing for them to say, oh, actually the math quite isn't there, Will.
I can tell you what happened. Multiple weeks of time passed, which allowed the story to get brushed under the rug with Americans' relatively, we'll call it goldfish-type memories, that it's really, really easy to forget what news or notes of the day is not immediately in front of your face. They must have just assumed that Americans and Wisconsinites would forget that they took this stand and would assume they're still doing everything in their power to push for it. Keep in mind, they did not announce this publicly. This was in a court filing that their statements were released. So they're telling the American legal system one thing, and they're telling their base and the people of Wisconsin an entirely different thing.
Yeah, it is important to note what venue this information came out in, and it being in a legal filing saying, hey, we don't actually let... It was ceremonial. That's what it was. Please hear it as in this court case as a ceremonial vote, not... It's more of a vibes vote than anything, Will, is what it comes down to, according to this court filing.
Well, and it gets a little more interesting as well, Luke. As of yesterday, another piece over from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Robin Voss backs away from lawsuit over attempts to oust elections chief Megan Wolf. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has distanced himself from his Senate counterparts in the ongoing dispute over the state's top election official, telling reporters on Tuesday, yesterday, he's asked to be removed from a lawsuit filed against Republican lawmakers who have attempted to oust her. Attorneys for Voss, Devin LeMahieu and Chris Kapenga, and in the new court filing, as we noted, admitted their efforts so far to remove WEC Administrator Megan Wolf was symbolic. Wolf was in her position legally, and lawmakers have no power to replace her. But the filing made on Monday by the Republican defendants of that lawsuit asked a judge to bar the legislative leaders from taking further action to remove Wolf and Robin Voss, now saying that this lawsuit, quote, is the Senate's lawsuit. Of course, I was named in the lawsuit, but the attorneys are not ours. We are not involved in negotiations. We were not involved in any of that. That's the Senate's thing. When he was asked if that means he disagrees with the filing, Voss said he thinks the law is, quote, crystal clear, unquote, that there is a mechanism to appoint a replacement for Wolf through the legislature's Joint Committee on Legislative Organization. It's a totally different position than if somebody is appointed to be on the Board of Regents or to be on the DNR board, where there's really no replacement mechanism. We already have that in law. So the Senate took their position. I don't necessarily agree with it, but again, it's their lawsuit with the attorneys, unquote. So Robin Voss can't even seem to get his story straight in this regard either. The Republicans can't get their story straight. This is interesting. This is very, very interesting.
Yeah, it's it seems that there's a little disconnect between the state assembly and the state Senate when it comes to the Republican caucuses on these, because they're trying to say now, oh no, the Frederick Prenn rule doesn't apply here because it's a different board. It's not the Natural Resources Board, it's the Wisconsin Elections Commission. So ipso facto, a vacancy does, you know, get created. Or I don't understand how that argument gets applied, because
whatever argument benefits the current position I'm trying to argue is
the renomination vote. Still, it was a 3-0, and you need a majority of Wisconsin elections commissioners to consider a renomination. So I don't understand how saying, oh, I'm going to leave that lawsuit because it doesn't agree. I don't agree with the findings from my counterparts in the state Senate because of this theory. It's nonsensical a little bit, Will, to be defending all of these differing points just because they're not getting their way and they want to see their way become the way. But it doesn't seem like that's going to be the case. So it's going to be a court case that we're going to have to keep an eye on. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to go to the phone lines quick. We got a couple minutes before the break. We got Keith from Fond du Lac on the line. Keith, what are your thoughts on the attempt to oust Chief Elections Administrator Megan Wolf?
That's terrible. Did you say your show was getting canceled?
Yes, we did.
Oh, you did. I'll look at the bright side. At least you guys lasted longer than CNN Plus.
Appreciate that, Keith. We try to be as entertaining as possible, but we try to be as informative as possible, too, because I think that's what's really important, is making sure the people of Wisconsin understand what's going on in their communities and are able to have these kind of conversations in a place where they feel not only comfortable and confident talking about it, but where they feel like they can express their true opinions, and we're able to have these kind of back and forths on what's really important to Wisconsin in particular. You know, we are local homegrown radio refreshed. We're trying to be a new approach to homegrown radio, and we want to be able to kind of showcase that when we're talking with our great listeners throughout the state of Wisconsin. So
appreciate the phone call, Keith.
Go ahead, Luke.
No, just saying, appreciate the phone call. Here on Town Call, we are going to be joined by one friends of the show, Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area, coming up as well. Going to have at least one more Wednesday Recombobulation with Dan. Number of things going on in the Milwaukee and Wisconsin area. I don't know if you guys just saved all the... Clearly, there wasn't all the news saved for my absence. Like, there was clearly stuff going on that I had to be caught up on. But boy,
there's always
it feels
stuff
like
going on, Luke.
3 weeks of news almost just occurred over the last 3 days as well, Will. So there's no shortage of things we need to recombobulate on. I did go to a number of airports, but did not get a picture. I have yet to be in the Milwaukee airport since Dan's been joining us on the show and been aware of the recombobulation area to get my selfie with the sign. But Dan Schaefer coming up next on Town Call. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. We're going to be right back.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you. Sweet. Saddle up, buckaroos. It's time to start the cattle drive with Trail Tunes, the new cowboy, western, and south of the border show on Wiscountry 105.5 WIRI. Every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m., join me, Gene, Roy, Tex, and Rex with songs of lonesome cowboys, wicked rustlers, and sighing senoritas. From the Sons of the Pioneers to Riders in the Sky, Trail Tunes will have you wishing for those wide open spaces. Every Thursday from 7 to 8, only on Wiscountry 105.5.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy and the gutsy. The teachers, the growers, the builders. The skilled, the sharers, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go all in and all out. We are volunteers, partners, communities, working together, living together. Bringing our experience, passion, and joy to building a better world together. From tackling climate change in Mexico to keeping kids healthy in Kenya. From sustainable farming in the Philippines to education in Kosovo. We learn more, give more, share freely, and serve boldly. Are you ready to tackle the tough stuff? To go the distance to make a difference? Then we have a place where you belong. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner? I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with a chance for scattered rain showers. High temperatures reach up to 61. South winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered rain showers again tonight. Lows around 47. Overcast skies. Cloudy skies. Tomorrow, chance for scattered rain showers. Highs level off around 56. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 59.
Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
There is a fifth dimension. Beyond that which is known to man.
Milwaukee's best.
It's a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity.
Hey man, what about Milwaukee, man?
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
I think God would want us to go to Milwaukee.
And it lies between the pit of a man's fears and the summit of his knowledge.
What do you think about Milwaukee?
This is the dimension of imagination. You are now entering the recombobulation area.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call, shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. It's Wednesday, and that means we are doing some recombobulating with Mr. Dan Schaefer. Dan, how are you doing this Wednesday afternoon?
I'm doing well. Always a joy to hear that intro, and always a joy to talk to you fellas. Happy to be here.
I know we make the joke, but it seriously gets better every time I hear it.
Was it every single intro in my absence when you so graciously filled in for those couple days? Was it every in and out? Did you no. enter the recombobulation and then leave and then enter? How many times was it played in my absence?
You mean you didn't go back and listen to every episode while you were?
I have not completely caught up on every episode in my absence.
Well, no spoilers. Doesn't do his homework. You'll have to go back and listen to it yourself.
It's a little treat. I'm going to listen at a 3.5 speed, I guess. So yeah, I'll have to catch it.
See how Bobby Portis quotes and 70, let that 70 show quotes sound at 3.5 speed.
There we go.
What else is new? Luke not doing his homework. It makes me think of the door itself in the Twilight Zone intro. Can you imagine if we were just like stepping in and out of it back and forth? Like you step into it and then you hear Bobby Portis's voice in the background and then you step out and it's silent again. You step back in and it's Bobby Portis's voice and you step out and it's silent again. Somebody needs to get me. That sounds like a fun video game idea. I would play that. I mean, I would play anything, honestly. But I'm all in on anything that Bobby Portis slaps his name on. So we're gonna be doing some recombobulating today. We got a lot of fun conversations to have with Mr. Dan Schaefer. But Dan, I wanted to start with a piece over at the recombobulation area on the Brewers Stadium deal and its complicated question. As Mr. Milwaukee, the expert himself, what are your thoughts on the new bill to spend more than $545 million in public dollars for maintenance and upgrades at AmFam?
Well, the bill passed the assembly yesterday with a pretty overwhelming and very bipartisan vote. And so now it will head to the Senate, where I think it will face a little bit more of an uphill climb, but I still would, you know, expect some sort of deal to pass. But as I argued in that column, I think as it stands right now, this deal is not a home run, and I think it can stand to improve. I laid out a few different ways that it could improve, and I think, you know, and to just, I guess, kind of break it down into three things that could improve for it. I think adding a ticket surcharge to remove some of the financial burden for the deal for local government in particular would be a good thing. I think there should be some level of funding from the surrounding counties. The five county region funded the construction of then Miller Park with the stadium tax. And now wealthier counties like Waukesha, Ozaukee, Washington are not part of this deal. I think they can stand to afford to contribute a little bit.
Especially because they benefit from having the Brewers around. A significant number of those individuals are the ones coming down to Milwaukee to be able to tailgate. They want the empty parking space. They want to be able to enjoy their time. They should have to contribute as well. I agree completely.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, even the data from the MMAC's commissioned study showed that the majority of the people who come to games at American Family Field are from outside of Milwaukee County, the majority, which I think is really interesting. And then the third piece of it that I think should improve is that there should be a real commitment for a beer district type of development. They created something that they that I think the city referred to as a pathway to development, you know, kind of creating this working group to study the possibility of maybe someday doing something in the parking spaces and surrounding area at American Family Field. I think they should make that a real commitment, because if we're going to have this type of mammoth investment, I think you should have some direct economic development for the city and county of Milwaukee in the immediate footprint of the stadium. So those are the big three things that I think could change after this goes to the Senate: the ticket surcharge, funding from surrounding counties, and a real commitment for a beer district type of development.
And to provide a little bit of context too, Dan, so when we talk about the amount of dollars that are involved in this, as it currently stands, you noted that the funding piece of the deal is $411 million in state funding, $135 million in local funding split between the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County, and only $100 million from the Milwaukee Brewers itself. So a vast majority of this is coming from tax dollars, from state and public funding.
Yeah, and that was the case when the stadium was built as well. You know, unlike the Fiserv Forum deal, which I also wrote a breakdown of, comparing the Brewers American Family Field deal to the Fiserv Forum deal, you know, the private contribution for constructing the stadium was basically non-existent. And now it's $100 million, whereas the Bucks Arena was more close to a 50-50 split between public and private. You know, I think it's clear that the Fiserv Forum deal was a better one than the one that is currently being discussed for American Family Field. It had, you know, relied more on some of these special taxes, some of the, like the ticket surcharge and some of the Wisconsin Center District taxes, like on car rentals and hotel rooms that will go to fund that and a number of the downtown projects that are under the governorship of the Wisconsin Center District. And I think this one, you know, relying so heavily on the public contribution, you know, like you mentioned, more than $400 million in state funding, more than $130 million in local funding. You know, the private contribution of this is more than the total cost of constructing Fiserv Forum. You know, it's a really, really huge number overall. It rose significantly from when Governor Evers initially proposed it at $290 million to just be paid directly through the surplus. So, you know, I think there are some questions with this as it goes forward. We'll see what happens in the state Senate. I think that some of the priorities should be, though, to lessen the burden on Milwaukee city and county so that, you know, folks like me who live in the city of Milwaukee are not basically triple taxed on this, you know, pulling a contribution from the city of Milwaukee's budget, from Milwaukee County's budget, and from the state budget. So you're really getting hit three different times over the course of this deal. And, you know, we want the Brewers to say, like, as I broke down in the piece, I'm not somebody who is completely opposed to stadium funding in all aspects. I think, you know, there are some who have made that case ideologically. It's a more than fair argument to make. It's not one that I necessarily agree with. So I think, you know, that we need to find some sort of solution, but I think there's room for this deal to improve as it heads to the Senate. And I think that should be the priority right now, is improving this deal before it is, you know, ultimately passed. And I think the likelihood of it passing, when you have, you know, stakeholders like you have Governor Evers, you have the Assembly Speaker, you have the Mayor of Milwaukee, the County Executive of Milwaukee, all in favor of the deal, I think it is very likely that it does pass. So right now, I think the priority should be on finding places to improve it before it gets to that finish line, before it gets to the ninth inning. We're at the seventh inning stretch right now, as I mentioned.
Still time, though.
I'm gonna force in a few baseball puns.
You got to put your rally cap on then, Dan. Where's the rally cap? That's what we got to get. Because, folks, you were listening to Town Call. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. We are joined by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area on this Wednesday afternoon. If you've got thoughts to share on the proposed funding solution to keep the Milwaukee Brewers in Milwaukee for the better part of the next two decades. I got a little scratchy when I was gone. I believe it's through 2050, but I don't know if...
2050.
It's one of those things, though, as well, Dan, as you've discussed the price tag. When we initially heard it, it was like $110 million only. And now it's almost five, six times the size of that with what we're getting at. I'm more of the stance that it's strange that the aspect of owning a major league sports franchise apparently is not lucrative enough to be able to pay for stadium improvements, but it's lucrative enough to go buy more major league, well, club level soccer teams, because that is what the majority owner of the Milwaukee Brewers did in recent time. Is doesn't have enough money to fund the stadium changes that he wants to see, but can go buy an English soccer club or football club on the other side of the world. It's interesting that this price tag blew up from $110 million to then the proposed solution that the Evers included in his budget that was laughed out of the room. Republican lawmakers at the time when they cut it said that's unreasonable. That is not an agreeable amount. And now this is even more than that. How did we get to that point where this price tag is what it is? Do you have any insight on where all these dollars are going to go if it's not necessarily a concrete beer district or the other things that could improve? Where are these funding improvements going at American Family Field?
Before you jump into that, Dan, I gotta tap the sign, Luke. I always have to tap the sign when you set me up for it. Socialism for the rich, rugged individualism for the poor. They will take any opportunity they can to siphon public dollars into their own pockets. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, I think It is ridiculous how much the price tag of this has ballooned since we initially started talking about it last year. You know, it's basically when Evers proposed that $290 million, I was taken aback by that dollar figure. And then there was a really good report, I think, from Biz Times about what exactly the asks were for American Family Field. And I think it was something in the neighborhood of $450 million that they needed for upgrades and maintenance for the stadium, you know, in the not too distant future. We know the roof leaks. We know there are some other things that need to be fixed. And so like that was basically kind of the down payment on that. So it was shaved off from the surplus instead of having, you know, an ongoing financial commitment as part of this deal, the way the Republican deal structured it. So, you know, with those, so, and there are some other requirements within the stadium district, within the way the initial laws were written, that require the stadium to be like in the top 50% of ballparks across the country. I don't know if it's 50% exactly or what it's supposed to be, but there are some
requirements. But there's a requirement there that it has to keep it up to date.
Yes, yeah, quality requirements that it has to be, you know, in the upper echelon of Major League Baseball stadiums. So so I think that is part of it there. But, you know, one of the other things that I, kind of reported in that piece yesterday was that the Brewers do have some financial assets that they have not tapped into. So if they need to make some of these short term fixes and before we get to, you know, the finish line on a deal, they could do that. They have tens of million dollars in treasury bonds that they could tap into to deal with some of the short term issues while the long term future of the team is sorted out. But that really has not entered the main discussion on this bill in a really significant way, where, you know, it just seems like a runaway train now. And it that every Evers did not really signal that he's he basically said he's going to sign whatever reaches his desk. He's not playing hardball on this one the way he has with some other issues, you know, within divided government and the legislature. So I think at this point, like I said, the priority should just be in improving the deal, because it does seem like something is going to get signed here as soon as it passes the Senate.
Folks, that is Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area joining us here on Town Call. Sorry to cut you short there, Will.
You're good. I was just going to point out how humorous the piece is, Dan, where you note that there are more parking spaces at AmFam Field than Disney World in Florida. It's part of the conversation that we had here on Town Call a few months ago, where I noted Lambeau Field, 86,000 capacity, has like 8,000 parking spots or something. AmFam has a capacity of what, 43, 44,000? And they have 19,000 parking spots approximately. That is absurd. If you go to Dan Schaefer's Twitter, you'll see some excellent images. The overview shot of AmFam, just the concrete jungle surrounding the facility. What could be done with that space? I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm a developer or have any knowledge of architecture, but that's a lot of open space. We could do some really cool stuff with that.
Yeah, it's a lot of parking. It's a lot of parking.
It's a concrete prairie, more or less, than anything. It's not even a jungle. There's just concrete as far as you can see. Folks, you're listening to Town Call. We are joined by Dan Schaefer. We're going to continue the conversation, continue recombobulating. If you'd like to join us, 844-967-2789. Town Call is going to be right back.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
down he goes.
Won't...
intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers hit the road to take on the Fighting Illini. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
It's about effort. It's about intensity.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
You're at the game with your girl and you're going to pop the question. So you take a big swig of overpriced liquid courage. You pull the ring out of your pocket, get down on one knee, and then she says,
I need to go to the bathroom.
And you realize the whole stadium is watching. Proposing on a Jumbotron? Big gamble. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells? Better odds. We're your can't-miss hotspot for big-time casino fun. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells. Your odds are better here.
Hello?
Man, where are you? This wedding is lit. I thought you were coming.
Ooh, I can't. I'm in bed with the flu.
The flu? You didn't get a flu shot?
I wish I did. I can't believe I'm missing out on Greg's wedding.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Grandma's about to crowd surf.
Grandma's about to what? What?
Man, I'll call you back.
Oh, man.
Sounds like another case of flu FOMO. Don't get stuck at home with the flu. A flu shot is safe, effective, and you can get it at the same time as your COVID-19 vaccine. A flu shot is the best way to prevent the flu and its potentially serious complications. It keeps you protected and also protects your loved ones. Protecting our community can't wait. So why get stuck inside with the flu? Don't get flu FOMO. Learn more at getmyflushot.org.
Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Chance for scattered showers this afternoon, otherwise cloudy. Daytime highs approaching 63, south winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies, tonight slight chance for scattered rain showers, lows level off around 47. Chance for scattered rain showers, tomorrow high temperatures reach up to 56, overcast. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 63.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
You can connect with Town Call. Head over to the Apple App Store or Google Play Store, type in Civic Media. It's free, it's easy to download, and it's Wednesday, October 18th. We are doing some recombobulating with Mr. Dan Schaefer. And Luke, you got some breaking news for me over the break in regards to the speakership race that we covered pretty extensively yesterday. What is the development?
Yeah, it was when we jumped off the air yesterday, like as soon as Town Call wrapped
immediately
up on Tuesday, like as we were getting off the airwaves, Jim Jordan lost his first vote for the to be nominated to be the next Speaker of the House. Today, very courteous over there in D.C., they decided to do it in the middle of the show. We know already now Jim Jordan has failed a second time. Two more defectors. He lost two more voters from the Republican caucus. So 22 Republicans voting for somebody else other than Jim Jordan on the second ballot. There will be a third ballot. There will be no Speaker of the House as of right now here on the almost 1 o'clock hour of Wednesday. It'll be interesting. And Lawrence Andrea, reporter with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, throwing an interesting little tidbit out there. Mike Gallagher's name, congressman here in Wisconsin, up in the northeastern portion of the state, getting possibly drafted as a alternative to Jim Jordan. So that's going to be something interesting to keep an eye on, along with all of the things that we were discussing on yesterday's edition of Town Call.
Now, Mike Gallagher did tell Lawrence Andrea that, quote, there's no chance he would consider a run for speaker, unquote. But as you noted, Luke, there are apparently a couple of people on Capitol Hill that are pushing him to consider a bid when Jordan ultimately flames out. Those are the words of Jake Sherman, the founder of Punchbowl News, not mine. But like you said, whispers are occurring. This might be something that we hear or see in the coming days. I will also note 0-2. That 1-15 is still a long way away. The Bengals are back at 500 after starting 0-2, so anything is possible.
There's always a Wisconsin connection, though, as our friend Dan Schaefer likes to say. Always a Wisconsin connection, so we had to work Wisconsin somehow into this speaker vote.
Well, maybe they'll just go through the rest of the Wisconsin delegation if Gallagher turns it down. Do you think Speaker of the House Glenn Grothman, do you think that would be a possibility at all? I don't know.
Tom Tiffany said that he really wants to stay in the House. He's not going to take a bid for the U.S. Senate this year. So maybe he's looking for leadership in the House of Representatives.
Derek Van Orden? How about Speaker of the House, Derek Van Orden? Is that a possibility as well?
You missed our quote yesterday, Dan, on George Santos, who called one of the representatives, quote, the drunk uncle, unquote, of a Republican conference meeting, and Luke and I had to guess which representative.
I didn't guess. I was not. I was not throwing any guesses in there.
Who could that possibly be? Yeah.
We didn't name any names, but we did heavily, heavily imply who we might have been referring to.
Will did. I did not. At least I heavily implied. I said I wasn't touching that one. That's for sure. But speaking of Wisconsin things, here outside of just the Brewers Stadium funding for American Family Field, there's a lot going on at the Wisconsin Capitol right now. One of the things that is a looming crisis that the state is going to face, regardless of how much progress gets done on it or not, is the child care crisis. There are solutions that the Wisconsin state legislature and the governor can make. They can address this problem, or it's going to be a can that is kicked further down the road. It will be interesting to see what happens between now and the end of the year. We got an update earlier this week, Dan, that Governor Tony Evers moving more federal funds to the Child Care Accounts program. What can you share with us on the updates there on the child care front, something that the recombobulation area has been covering closely?
Yeah, so, you know, as we had last month, the governor's special session that he called on childcare and a number of workforce issues. Typically what they do, of course, when the governor calls a special session is Republicans will gavel in and gavel out. In this sense, they just gaveled in and then went home. The assembly has yet did not take any action at all, but the state Senate actually put it in up for a public hearing. And so that public hearing was held last week. I watched most of the hearing, and it was quite something to see Republicans in that hearing. State Senator Dan Knoedel, in particular, basically suggested
my neck of the woods.
He basically suggested a number of times during that hearing that instead of funding childcare, that people should just stay home with their kids. And we know, of course, he means women. Mothers should be staying home with their kids. Let's be real there. And, you know, as a number of the people in the public hearing, including State Senator Kelda Royce, who I talked to for a podcast last week about that hearing, you can go check it out, said that, you know, there was no pushback when she was claiming that he said, you just want women to stay home and stay out of the workforce. And so after that hearing, the Republicans the following day introduced their own amendment to that special session bill, basically replacing all of it. They Friday news dumped this this story saying that instead of funding childcare, we're gonna have our own plan. And guess what the plan was? Yep, it was a tax cut. Their one economic policy, a tax cut. So they were.
Dan, it's funny because I made that exact same joke yesterday. I was like, Luke, what do you think
on
the
Monday.
One thing
that it was
they,
on Monday, yeah.
Like, what's the one thing they proposed to counter that? And Luke was like, a tax cut. And I was like, a tax cut, of course, because what else would it be? Everybody knows that that's the only agenda that they're going to announce.
Yeah, it even included a tax credit for sending your child to private school, which I'm not sure how that connects to workforce development and stuff like that. But that's the way that Senate Republicans approached this. And Governor Evers acted pretty swiftly in response to this, saw how ridiculous it was, saw how out of touch Republicans were, and said, OK, I'm going to tap these emergency funds. It's not the full $360+ million to fully fund child care accounts. It's about $170 million that they were able to, you know, direct in towards child care. So it is not a full solution. It is a temporary half measure emergency solution, but it is going to make a difference. And that $170 million to continue funding the child care accounts program, which in recent weeks was honored by the Nonpartisan Wisconsin Policy Forum with an award for innovation in local government. So clearly a program that is working well. And I think this is a really important step. Evers has been simply terrific on this issue. I must got to hand it to him. He's been amazing on this child care issue.
Credit where credit is due.
Speaking of being amazing on keeping up with all of Milwaukee and Wisconsin news, Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. Is that a new URL?
Yeah.
That's news from when I was gone.
While you were gone, yeah. Now you can post links on Twitter and have it actually show up in your feed.
There we go. Well, Dan Schaefer, thank you so much for joining us here on Town Call. Check out the news site, recombobulationarea.news. Dan, really appreciate it, and we look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thanks as always.
We're going to be back with Office Hours tomorrow, our final segment of Office Hours, followed by the final Wisconsin headlines of the week. Can I put Mr. Luke Mathers down at the bell? Stay tuned. Find out. You're not going to want to miss it. This is Town Call. We'll see you tomorrow. Take it easy, party people.
Talk to y'all then.
Bucks and six.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing.